Joining us on the line is Senator Josh Hawley. He's the junior U.S. Senator from Missouri and former state attorney general. He's also the author of the brand new book, The Tyranny of Big Tech. Senator Hawley, thanks for joining the program. Really appreciate it.
Thanks for having me.
So first of all, congratulations on the book actually being released. Obviously, Simon & Schuster had dumped the book after January 6th for some unspecified reason having to do with challenging electoral results. But I'm glad that the book is actually out there because the First Amendment still does exist technically in the United States.
Yeah, that's exactly right, Ben. And I'm glad that there are still independent publishers out there who are willing to actually, you know, publish books with diverse viewpoints. And I said at the time when Simon & Schuster tried to cancel the book, I said, you know, listen, part of what has to happen for those of us who are conservatives and libertarians is we have to say we refuse to be canceled. We refuse to bow down to the woke mob. And now the book is in print. People can read it for themselves.
So let's talk. Today is a perfect day to talk about the tyranny of big tech. Obviously, Facebook's oversight board just upheld the original suspension of President Trump from Facebook based on his comments on January 6th. They had suspended him January 7th. The Facebook Oversight Board decided that they were right to do so, but that they couldn't do it indefinitely because basically that's not in their rules indefinitely. They said that they could theoretically have just banned him, or they could have taken down the content, or they could have given a prescribed period of time, which hilariously enough actually throws the ball back at Facebook, which is exactly what Facebook wanted to avoid. That's why they created the Oversight Board. But this really does go to the fact that these big tech companies don't have any sort of consistent standard they apply at all, and they have enormous power to basically get rid of anybody based on a bootstrapped justification.
Yeah, exactly. And I've said that this decision today, it really shows you. It's a sad moment in America when free speech depends on the whims of a corporate monopoly, which is what Facebook is. And by the way, I don't buy this distinction between the board and Facebook. The board is Facebook, right? I mean, listen, Facebook set up the board. Facebook chose its members. It's funded by Facebook. Like, let's just be honest here. Facebook decided that it was okay for Facebook to suspend Donald Trump. I mean, end of story, right? So all of this stuff, it's not a court. You know, I've seen some of the reporting on this morning, and they say, oh, the decision, is it binding? Is it not? What are we talking about? It's not a court. It's a fake made-up thing that Facebook designed to try to, as you just alluded to, get themselves off the hot seat when they don't follow their own rules or when they want to do something that their rules don't provide for. So whatever, Facebook needs to own this decision. And the fact of the matter is, the real problem with Facebook is they're a monopoly, and they have a monopoly on social media, increasingly a monopoly on speech. And that's the real problem here. It's the lack of competition. It's the lack of viable alternatives. And I think that's what we should be concerned about.
So, you know, I've for a long time been rather libertarian when it comes to big tech. My view was that many of these companies, you could launch competitors. I mean, MySpace was a thing until it wasn't a thing. But that view has been shaken, at least to a large extent, by what happened to Parler in the aftermath of January 6th, because that was an attempt to build an alternative to a place like Twitter. And then Amazon Web Services, which kind of is a quasi-monopoly in terms of the cloud services that it provides, in the United States at least, they just deplatformed Parler entirely. So it went from build your own to if you build your own, we will follow you there and then we will destroy you.
Yeah, exactly right. That's exactly right, Ben. I mean, it really highlights the fact that we don't have viable competitive markets in these spaces. You know, the best thing would be, what we need is more competition. We need to have alternatives that folks can build so that the consumers actually have real choices. But the Parler example is just perfect. Here you have an actual competitor. It was still very small, of course, but it was an actual competitor starting to get a little bit of traction. And what happens? You know, Apple and Amazon and Google snap their fingers. And literally within 48 hours, it's gone. It's effectively erased. If that isn't monopoly power, boy, I don't know what is. And I think it just highlights the fact that what we need to do is we need to break up this monopoly so that we can have more competition. Now, some people say, well, let's regulate the heck out of these companies. Let's basically make them public utilities. Let's put them under the control of the government. I have to say, I'm not a fan of that. I think the thing to do is break up their monopoly power, break up their monopoly status, and let's get some real competition, let the market flourish.
I mean, my question about that really is sort of one of solution. I do wonder if breaking up these companies is actually going to be successful in allowing others to thrive. In other words, is Facebook really the chief obstacle to its opponents thriving, or is really the chief obstacle to its opponents thriving a government hand-in-glove relationship with places like Facebook, in which the government, the Democratic Party has basically said to Facebook, either you regulate the First Amendment or we will regulate you. I mean, Dianne Feinstein said that quite openly to Mark Zuckerberg. She said straight up, if you don't basically restrict speech in the ways I want you to restrict speech, then we'll just come after you. And so breaking up that monopoly, I'm not sure that that actually changes the math on the ground, as opposed to one of the other proposals I know that had been put forward by Senate Republicans, was to change, just get rid of the catch-all provision in Section 230 of the Communications Decency Act, which I think might be an easier way to go about it. What do you think of that?
Well, I've proposed the changes to the CDA as well, Communications Decency Act, Section 230, and I think we should do that, Ben. I absolutely do. But I do think that unless we attack their power, unless we look at their concentrated market power and break that up, I think the danger will still remain, and you just put your finger on why that is. The Democrats actually love the concentrated power of these companies because they can do what government cannot do. They can use these companies to censor speech in a way the First Amendment would not permit the government, which is why you see the Democrats saying, oh, they don't want to really break them up. They just want to regulate them more heavily. They want to make them an arm of the state. That, I think, is the solution we must have. It's not a solution at all. That's what we want to avoid. That's a big government, big business alliance. So I think what we need to do is we absolutely need to reform Section 230. We need to give people the right, in my view, to take these companies to court when they're unfairly discriminated against. We need to restore the good faith requirement for taking down content that was originally in 230, but courts have basically eliminated. But we do also need to break up their power. If we don't break up their market concentration, that I think is stifling innovation, stifling competition, I promise you, our friends on the left will not rest until they have gotten these companies to do the work of censorship for them. They're already doing it, and the left is just going to double down on that.
So, Senator Hawley, you know, there's a lot of talk on the left about how much they dislike big tech and how they want to regulate big tech. Obviously, you're alluding to the fact that there are some pretty significant differences between right and left on how they would like to deal with big tech. The big problem on the right is that we would like for big tech to allow more speech, and the big problem on the left is that they would like to force big tech to allow less speech. There seems to be sort of a widespread misunderstanding of that in the American public mind. They think that right and left are united in regulating big tech, but they're calling for almost precisely opposite conclusions.
Yeah, that's exactly right. And that difference is becoming more apparent, I think, as the Democrats fall more and more in love with the power of these companies. And you could see it last fall during the Hunter Biden fiasco when you had Twitter, Facebook again throttling down and outright suppressing the New York Post reporting on this. The Democrats love that. They're cheering that on. They're saying, absolutely censor that. Absolutely shut that down. Absolutely exercise your power. Conservatives are saying, whoa, on what grounds are you doing this? And where can we go? What other platform can we go to be able to share this story and actually have an open conversation? So you can really see, if you look closely, you can see the left saying more and more, yeah, we want to regulate these companies, regulate them to carry out the censorship that we, the Democratic left, want. And that just should be unacceptable to conservatives, not just been for the results it reaches, but on principle, because we don't believe in a big government, big business alliance. We don't believe in monopolies. We believe in the free market. We think there ought to be competition. We think there ought to be free speech. And you're exactly right. What we need is more free speech in social media and the tech realm, not less.
And we're speaking to Senator Josh Hawley. His new book is The Tyranny of Big Tech. So Justice Clarence Thomas had suggested in a footnote in a recent case that he thinks that maybe a solution here would be to treat these companies as public utilities, that essentially they were created as open platforms. AT&T doesn't get to cut off the line anytime you say something that AT&T doesn't like, because they are, in fact, a public utility and they are a platform. They are not an editorial content board. Facebook has started to operate more like we're going to allow what we want to allow, and what we don't want to allow just isn't allowed. The decision today is pretty astonishing in a few ways that was put out by the Oversight Board. They said, for example, that President Trump could be suspended because he violated their rule, quote, prohibiting praise or support of people engaged in violence. Now, it would be one thing if they consistently held that standard, but I seem to remember an entire year in which Democratic politicians actively fomented acts of violence in America's major cities and continue to foment the tremendous lie that America is systemically racist, and during which members of the media actively compared people who were rioting and looting to members of the Boston Tea Party and suggested that what they were doing was justified. So the problem with a lot of these big tech companies is not that they have double standards, that the double standard really amounts to no standard. It's just a standard applied against one side.
Yeah, exactly right. And they apply it whatever they want to, Ben, for any reason that they want to, which is another reason why today's quote unquote decision by this board is a joke. I mean, it basically just says Facebook just does whatever it wants, whenever it wants to. And it can do that because it's a monopoly, you know? So, hey, I mean, we just all have to live with it. And my point is, and I talk about this in the book, we don't have to live with it. We shouldn't have to live with it. These companies shouldn't have this kind of control over our politics, over speech, over our lives. And there's no reason to let them have this kind of control. Now, you mentioned Justice Thomas. He's been doing great work in the tech space. He's written a couple of really interesting opinions here just in the last year, talking about some of the legal problems with this. And he does talk about common carriers utilities as maybe legally something that for courts, at least, courts ought to be thinking about, perhaps, you know, he doesn't, he says he's thinking about this, but courts ought to perhaps think about these platforms in this way. I think he's onto something there. I would say, though, that there's a difference between that and Congress actually legislating to turn these companies into public utilities, to turn them into common carriers. I'm hesitant about that. You know, I need to think on that more, but I'm hesitant. That is mega regulation of a monopoly. It's basically saying, let's accept their monopoly status and let's just regulate the heck out of them. I kind of think that's what the Democrats would like to do. I think the Democrats would probably say, yes, we'll do that, and then we'll fight over what speech is acceptable, what's not, what's equal time, what's not. So that makes me a little leery. What I'd prefer to do is just break up their concentrated power, break up the monopoly, and get some real competition in there. But listen, this is a problem that we've got to think about a lot. I mean, there's a lot to unpack and to think on here. What we cannot do is just sit back and say, well, you know, we'll just hope for the best while Facebook and Google and Twitter just do whatever they want.
We're speaking to Senator Josh Hawley. He is the senator from Missouri, and his new book is The Tyranny of Big Tech. So, Senator Hawley, I want to go back to the cancellation of your book. So it was amazing. The media has this standard that if you are canceled by a company, you've not actually been canceled so long as an alternative is available, which defies any sort of logic. If a company refuses to do business with you, that company has canceled you, technically speaking. And even if you can go somewhere else, that does not mean that you were not canceled by the original company. So what exactly went down with Simon & Schuster? What was their excuse for canceling this book, which literally has nothing, so far as I'm aware, to do with anything January 6th related?
Yeah, it has absolutely nothing to do with January 6th. And in terms of why they did what they did, all I know, Ben, is the press statement they put out. They never contacted me directly. They never followed up with me. And this is the company that commissioned the book, keep in mind. And all I found out was what I read in the press. What they read in the press is that Senator Hawley had a role in the violence and the riot at the Capitol on January 6th. That is absolutely false. I had nothing to do with the riot on January 6th. I was there, of course, at the time. I condemned the rioters as it was happening. It was the debate over Electoral College certification that I was participating in that was interrupted. And I said at the time, if you commit acts of violence, attack cops, storm federal buildings, you're a criminal. You got to go to prison. And by the way, that's true whether or not you're doing it at the Capitol in Washington, D.C., or a federal building in Portland, or anywhere else for that matter. The left's, you know, usual game is, as you just pointed out, they're fine with violence against cops. They're fine with violence that involves federal officers. They're fine with attacks on federal property if it's the left and if it's for leftist causes. But if they can blame it on conservatives, okay, well, then that's different. My view is it's never different. It's all the same. Violence is wrong. Political violence is illegal. And if you do it, you ought to go to jail. So it was just, you know, Simon & Schuster's rationale was a total lie. They knew it was. They're just bowing to the woke mob. And that's why I said, I refuse to go along with this. I'm not going to pretend that this is a legitimate excuse. I'm going to go out and find a different publisher, and we're going to bring this thing to the press. And that's what we did.
So, Senator Hawley, I would be remiss if I didn't ask you about the Electoral College and challenging the election results in the Electoral College.
Right. This is why the objection that I filed was to the state of Pennsylvania, and it hinged on Pennsylvania's failure to do two things, Ben. The first is Pennsylvania's failure to follow its own constitution. The Pennsylvania Constitution does not permit universal mail-in balloting. And yet Pennsylvania did it anyway. And then when Pennsylvanians filed suit and tried to say, hold on, we're having mail-in balloting universally. Our constitution doesn't permit that. The Pennsylvania Supreme Court, which is an elected partisan court, threw it out without even hearing the substance of the challenge, which, by the way, violated their own doctrine. That's number one. Number two, the Pennsylvania Supreme Court also intervened to change the rules about when ballots could be returned. And we talked about Justice Thomas a second ago. Justice Thomas has a great opinion as to why that was highly irregular, to put it mildly, and a major, major problem. So that my objection hinged on what happened in Pennsylvania, on these irregularities. I actually didn't talk about fraud at all, so you didn't need to get there. In my view, in Pennsylvania, these are the kind of things, the violation of their own constitution, the intervention of the Pennsylvania Supreme Court, which I think is pretty much totally lawless. Those are the kind of things I think that are absolutely grounds for a debate about election integrity. And by the way, Ben, that's what you get in the certification process if you object. You get a debate. You get to have an open debate on the floor of the Senate. That's why I objected, along with Senator Cruz and a number of other senators, and I think 140 House members. And that debate is something that the Democrats have forced in three of the last presidential elections. Every time a Republican has won, they've objected to 11 states, which is, you know, perfect. That's their right to do that and to have the debate. It's in the rules. But to say, Ben, that doing that, following the same procedures they followed, having a debate about election integrity, pointing out what happened in Pennsylvania, that that's akin to violence, that that's inciting a riot, that that is a big lie, that's totally false. All of that's false. And I think the Democrats know it's false. They just want to shut down speech they disagree with.
On a Federalist level, are you concerned at all that members of Congress of either party challenging duly certified electoral results, because these results were, in fact, certified by the state of Pennsylvania through their normal process, that this does federalize a system of voting that kind of is what Democrats want? I mean, Democrats are now pushing for full federalization of all voting procedure, attempting to basically vitiate the ability of states like Georgia, for example, to even have voter ID or states to prevent ballot harvesting.
I don't think that providing a platform in Congress for an open debate about election integrity or whatever the issues of the day may be, again, this is a procedure, this debate procedure is one that has been used multiple times over the years, including now, I guess, four times in the last 20 years. So it's become a pretty familiar procedure. And I think that's healthy, Ben. I mean, this is why we have Congress as a platform so people can be heard. I mean, this is my whole point. When I said I was going to object, I said the people of my state have major concerns about what's happened in this last election, and Pennsylvania is a great case in point. I'm going to object so their concerns can be heard. That's why we have this platform for debate. That's why we have Congress in part, so that people's concerns can be aired. Now, there's a big difference between having a debate as part of pre-existing law and changing the laws wholesale, which is what the Democrats now want to do. They want to change all of the election laws, including mine in the state of Missouri, our election laws. We have voter ID in the state of Missouri. They want to throw that out. They want to completely federalize our elections. And, you know, you could see this coming. I mean, they've been telegraphing that they wanted to do this. They wanted to take over our elections. And that's one of the reasons I thought we should have a debate about this back in January. We're having it now.
Senator Josh Hawley, his brand new book is The Tyranny of Big Tech. It's doing really well on the bestseller charts. Senator Hawley, really appreciate your time.
Thank you so much.
The battle for the culture is heating up. We here at The Daily Wire are making some big moves. So be sure to like, subscribe, ring that bell, because you're not going to want to miss a single moment.
Hello, CPAC. How are you doing? Didn't anybody tell you that you're supposed to be canceled? You didn't get the memo. You're supposed to ask permission before you came here today. It's great to see you. It's great to be here among patriots. And I tell you what, can I just tell you, speaking of being canceled, the last 6 weeks, the radical left, their corporate allies, the liberal media, have tried to cancel me, censor me, expel me, shut me down, stop me from representing the people of Missouri, stop me from representing you. And guess what? I'm here today, I'm not going anywhere, and I'm not backing down. Not a chance. Not a chance. And neither are you, am I right? You're not going to back down. You're not going anywhere. I just want to say to those people who say to us, oh, you're the past. Your moment has passed. It's over. It's Joe Biden's America now. I just want to say, we're not the past. We're the future. We represent the future of this country. We represent the next generation of this country. We represent what's coming next, and there is no way that we're going to back down. We're not going to back down to the woke mob. We're not going to back down to the cancel culture. We're not going to be told what we can say or do. But listen, we've got to be honest, and we got to face the challenges that are in front of us. And I tell you what, you know this or you wouldn't be here. You know that we are facing a crisis in our country. This is one of the great moments of crisis in American history. We're facing a fight for the republic itself, and we are facing an unprecedented alliance of radical liberals and the biggest, most powerful corporations in the history of the world. They are standing together. You know who I mean. People like Google, Facebook, if you heard of them, Twitter. These companies have more power than any companies in American history, and they're allying with the radical left to try to impose their agenda on this country. They want to run this country, and if we don't do something, they are going to. And we've got a word for that. It's called oligarchy. And that's what we're facing in America right now, and we've got a basic choice. We can have a republic where the people rule, or we can have an oligarchy where big tech and the liberals rule, and that is the choice. That is the challenge that we face today. It's a perilous moment. We have to stand up and take our stand on the Constitution of the United States and the Declaration of Independence, because last time I checked, the Declaration of Independence said that our inalienable rights to life and liberty come from God and not from government. Is that right? I mean, am I forgetting something? And I also thought, last I checked, I thought that the Declaration said that our rights come from God, not from Google. Is that right? I mean, last I checked. But that's the fight of our time, to make the rule of the people an actual thing again, to restore the sovereignty of the American people. You know what? That's always been the fight. That's the fight of liberty. That's been the fight of liberty since the beginning of human history. You've always got a small group of people who think they know best, and they ought to be in charge, and they ought to be able to tell us what to think and do. And today, that's the big corporations and the liberal elites. That's the oligarchy. And what are we fighting for? It's the same thing our founding fathers fought for. We're fighting for the rule of the people. We're fighting to be able to have our own say. We're fighting to be able to run our own government. We're fighting to have real self-government in America. And that's what we're about. You know, you can see where the oligarchs want to take us. Just look at the last 2 months. The last 2 months, the big tech corporations have deplatformed conservatives left and right, shut them up, shut them out, shut them down. Heck, they censored the President of the United States. If they can censor him, they can censor any American citizen. And I've got my own experience with this, unfortunately. You know, on January the 6th, I objected during the Electoral College certification. Maybe you heard about it. I did. I stood up. I stood up and I said, we ought to have a debate about election integrity. I said, it is the right of the people to be heard, and my constituents in Missouri want to be heard on this issue. And so I did what, by the way, I did what our Democrat friends, my Democrat colleagues, have done in every single election where a Republican president has won for the last 20 years. Do you know they've objected to 11 different states in certifications over the last 25 years, three different presidential elections? So I did that, and I said, I want to have a debate on election integrity. And what was the result of that? You know what the result was. I was called a traitor. I was called a seditionist. The radical left said I should be resigned, and if I wouldn't resign, I should be expelled from the United States Senate. Well, as I said a moment ago, I'm not going anywhere. I'm staying right here. I'm going to stand up for you. Because if we can't have free and open debate in this country, we're not going to have a country left. If we can't have free and open debate according to the laws in the United States Senate, what good is the United States Senate? Why do you send anybody to Washington at all? I thought it was an important stand to take. And for that, the left has come after me. They've tried to silence me. They canceled a book I was writing called The Tyranny of Big Tech. These people have no sense of irony. Still gonna get published, by the way. It'll be out soon. Not long to wait. They did all of that. It didn't work, but listen, that's just a slice of what they've done. A lot of people have had it a lot worse. I mean, they made lists of Trump voters, you know this. You can find online lists of Trump voters so they could go and try to punish them. One outfit in Washington's keeping a list of everybody who ever worked for Donald Trump, including White House interns, to try to make sure they can never get another job in Washington again. I was struck by this story about a gal named Kara Demoplin. She's a lady with a business online. She does a consulting on how to get babies to sleep. Now listen, before you say, what do we care about that? I've got three little kids at home, including a newborn. My baby Abigail, my wife and I welcomed her on November the 9th, so she's just over 3 months old. Thank you. So we're really interested in sleep. I can tell you, the Hawley household, we care about sleep. My wife knew of this gal, Kara Demoplin, who had an Instagram online thing where she counseled people on how to get their babies to sleep. It was great. She had like 4 million followers. What happened? She supported Donald Trump. So what did they do? They came after her. They came after her, tried to shut down her accounts, tried to run her out of business. I just heard this morning, that a Christian worship leader at a church in this country who has albums, worship albums he put out, he just got a call this morning from his corporate distributor, and they told him they're not going to distribute his next album. What was his sin? He supported Donald Trump in the election. This is what corporate America and the radical left is doing. This is what they're doing left, right, and center. And they're going to keep on doing it unless we do something about it. Now, the real question is, how do we get here? How do we get to this point that these oligarchs, these massive corporations in hock with the left, can do what they're doing? And you know the answer to that. The answer is that the policy experts in Washington, D.C., and the elected officials there for decades on end have let them do it. They have given them the power. How did big tech get so big? Washington gave away the store. That's how they got so big. Washington subsidized Google and Facebook. Washington subsidized Twitter. And what are these companies, these other mega corporations, these multinational companies, what have they done to repay the favor? No, you know, they've shipped our jobs to China. They paid our workers poverty wages. They have violated all of the principles that we hold dear. That's what they've done. That's what these companies, that's what they live to do. And the left is just fine with it. Because the left and these companies together, these oligarchs, they can impose their agenda on the rest of us. And that's exactly what they're trying to do. So what are we going to do about it? I mean, that's the real question, isn't it? In this moment of crisis, our country needs us to take a stand. In this moment of crisis, our country needs us to stand up and to say, we will not be ruled by giant corporations and the liberal elite. We will not be told what to do by these modern day oligarchs. What we need is a new nationalism, a new agenda to make the rule of the people real in this country and give the people America back. Give it back to them. Give it back to you. No more rule by oligarchs, rule by the people. That's what we've got to do. And I can tell you how I would start. I would start by breaking up the big tech corporations. Just break them up. Break them up in the name of the rule of the people, for the good of the American people and our liberty. We need to break those corporations up and cut them down to size. You know what? The Republican Party, once upon a time, we were the party of trust busters. You know what? I mean, we invented the concept, basically. It's time to reclaim that legacy. It's time to reclaim that legacy, and not just for big tech, but for all of the huge multinational corporations that have sold us out to China, that have sold out our workers, that have sold out our jobs. They need to be broken up, and we need to have free, fair competition in this country again. That's what it means for the people to rule. We've got to stand up to China and not allow them to continue to push us over, to take our jobs, to cheat on trade. We got to put American workers first, not illegal immigrants. Can I just say, by the way, on that subject, just on the subject of immigration, you know, we get told all the time, well, if you believe in a border, if you think that borders actually matter, if you think that citizenship actually matters, well, my goodness, I mean, you're a bigot. You're backwards. Can I just try to enlighten our liberal friends for a second? We believe in borders because we believe in citizenship. And we believe in citizenship because we believe in America. Citizenship, you know, where I come from in Missouri, I grew up in rural Missouri, small town right in the middle of Missouri. It's a working class town full of good folks working hard to make it every day. And I can just tell you, where I grew up, we believe in citizenship because we're proud of it. We're proud to be Americans. And when you come to America, you join a family. And in this family, we stick up for one another. We protect one another. We believe in one another. That's what citizenship means. That's why it's worth protecting. That's why we need a border. Do you agree? I mean, that's what it is. And we've got to resist the attempts of the oligarchs to divide us. You know, they will only succeed at the end of the day. They will only succeed if we do nothing and if we allow ourselves to be divided. You can see what their strategy is. I mean, we saw it this whole last year. We heard endlessly from corporate media, from big tech, from the left, how terrible our country is. We heard that we are systemically racist. You heard that once or twice. We heard that the real founding of the country wasn't in 1776, it was in 1619 or whatever. You know, we heard that America is founded in lies and evil. I mean, that's what we've been told. All of that is false. All of that is a lie. America is not a perfect place, but it's a good place. More than that, it's a great place. It's the greatest nation in the history of the world. And part of standing up to the oligarchs in tech and in the media and the liberals is reclaiming our history and saying it is good and we are proud to be Americans. We're proud to have lived in a country that started with nothing and became the greatest country in the face of the earth. We're proud to live in a country that liberated slaves, that liberated a continent that was under the thumb of Nazi dictatorship, that rebuilt the entire world after a world war. We did all of that. This nation did all of that. And are we perfect? Of course we're not perfect. It's like your pastor says at church. Have you heard this? He said, have you ever been to a perfect church? The answer, I haven't ever been. Maybe you have. The answer is no, of course not. Why? Because it's full of people. You know, every church is full of people. America's full of people, but it's full of good people. It's full of good people who continue to seek the light and continue to strive towards that more perfect union. Now, my friends, it's up to us to stand up and to remind our fellow Americans of what we believe together, of what we love together, and to tell the oligarchs who want to rule this country that their day has passed, that we are going to stand for the liberty that our forefathers fought and died for, and we are going to make it real again in this day. We can do it. We can do it. You know, it seems now in this moment like the oligarchs and their allies are so powerful, but the truth is that the strength of America is always in the unheard voices of its people all across this great land. That's the strength is in you. The strength is in us together. And I just want to close with a line I've thought a lot about, a quote from Daniel Webster, who in some trying years of his own that he knew, a trying time before the beginning of the Civil War, he used to end his speeches in the United States Senate by saying, union now, union forever. What he meant was is that for those who said that America's time had passed, that the country was hopelessly divided, that it was irredeemable, sound familiar? He said, no, union now, union forever. I just want to say, my friends, America now, America first, America forever. God bless you. It's great to be with you. Take care. Thank you so much.